Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 22, The Beast Covenant.
Here's another word of knowledge that's going to help us to understand what I'm going to talk about. The Lord told me that the Gospels are a prophecy of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. If you haven't seen that, you're going to see more in the Gospels than you've probably seen in the book of Revelation. The longer you read it, the more it's going to open up to you, and it'll become apparent to you, okay? And the book of Acts is a prophecy of the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, and this is going to become apparent. I'll just give you a little example here, you know, before we start. Jesus, just like the end-time man-child, in parallel to the end-time man-child in Revelation 12, was born, and he taught the disciples for 3.5 years. Revelation 12 tells you exactly the same thing about the man-child, okay? Then, the former rain was poured out. At the end of Jesus' ministry, the former rain was poured out on the disciples, exactly as the latter rain will be poured out on the people in the book of Revelation, or in the end time, in the last 7 years. Then the disciples went out in Acts and were persecuted and killed by the harlot and by the beast, exactly as the end-time disciples in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation will be. There's a perfect parallel. The beast destroyed the harlot in 70 AD, as will also happen in the end of the tribulation. That's just a little brief overview. We're going to look at a few more things. Who is the beast covenant with? This may be very interesting to you. I can almost guarantee you've never heard this before, but I believe you'll see it in the Bible. And it will prepare you for what's actually going to happen. Because the fairy tales that we've been told, that have been passed on to us, you know, there's no condemnation that we've picked up these things. But when we see the truth, there is condemnation if you don't accept the truth, okay? We've all done this. We've all picked up, and like I said, we've all received dreams that we interpret firstly, very carnally and very physically, and as we go on, we see that there's something deeper and something spiritual. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and thy holy city. And he's talking about Daniel's people and Daniel's holy city. Okay. 69 of those weeks were decreed upon thy people, physical Israel. Nobody argues with that. We all agree with that, right? Daniel 9:25, know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, which happened in 486 B.C., unto the anointed, which is, comes from the Hebrew word for Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks of years from the time the command went forth until Jesus was born in 4 B.C., it came out exact, 483 years to 4 B.C. They should have known who Jesus was, right? They should have known. But instead, the beast tried to kill him. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one, the Messiah, be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come. The people of the prince that shall come. We'll study this a little later too. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And that happened in 70 AD. After the 69 weeks, physical Israel killed their Messiah, Jesus, and was broken off of the olive tree. Now, this is something that people have not thought about. They were broken off of the olive tree that was called All Israel. It's the olive tree of true Israel. And they were broken off because of unbelief, Romans 11 and 20. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, he says. So now what we're seeing is that from the time Jesus was cut off, spiritual bodies count. Jesus taught that. Spiritual bodies count, not physical bodies. It doesn't matter who you were born of. It doesn't matter if you've got any Jewish blood, right? Because flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God anyway. It's the spiritual born-again man that's going back to heaven, where he came from, by the way. You know he came from there? Yeah, he is the Word of God, and the Word came down out of heaven, right? The 70th week is decreed upon thy people, spiritual Israel. Yes. Spiritual people. Spiritual Israel. Thy people. The last week is decreed on the church, who was grafted into the olive tree called All Israel. Romans 11 and 19. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. The only way we stand in the New Testament bloodline is by faith. And they, that is a remnant, also, if they continue not in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And so all Israel shall be saved. Notice who he's calling all Israel here. All true Israel, according to the Lord, is the Jews who were the remnant that followed Jesus, the Gentiles who were grafted in as the church, and that's all Israel. And all of the Jews, by the way, that were broken off through blasphemy, through rebellion, they were broken off. They're not Israel anymore. Daniel's people are now the church. Daniel 12 and 13. But go thy way till the end be. Notice this. For thou shalt rest, die, he's obviously meaning, and shalt stand in thy lot. That's his people, right? At the end of the days. There's only one resurrection of the righteous dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. So when the saints are resurrected, Daniel's going to stand in his lot because he was told at the end of the days. And the resurrection is at the end. The overwhelming majority of people who are in the resurrection are Gentiles. Overwhelming majority, by far. And that's Daniel's lot. That's thy people. But now we're talking about thy spiritual people. Because even a natural Jew is not going to be in that lot unless he's born again. While God's people were looking for the beast to covenant with letter Israel, the covenant will include the church, Daniel 9 and 27. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, the 70th week, the tribulation, right? The 7-year covenant begins the tribulation, and according to Revelation 12, the man-child is born to the woman, the church, at that time. Since the Gospels represent the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, then we should be able to go to the beginning of the Gospels and find the covenant, which begins that 70th week, and we should be able to find the man-child born to the woman. Luke 2 and 1 is an example. I put that question before the Lord. I said, Lord, if that's right, I should be able to find that in the beginning of the Gospels. And this is what he spoke to me right here, this verse. I went right straight to it, the first one I went to. Now, it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Who was Caesar Augustus? He was the head of the Roman Empire, wasn't he? Are we building a Roman Empire in our day? Yes. Okay. Except it's a fulfillment of this type and shadow. And The decree was that all the world would be enrolled. Isn't that interesting? Now, what did Caesar know about all the world? Not much. He had control of the known world, but not all of the world. How could this be fulfilled? It's going to be fulfilled in our day. This is a type and a shadow. All the world should be enrolled. Well, you say, David, my Bible says taxed. Well, the word there is apographe, and it has nothing to do with tax. I don't think hardly anybody that looks at it will disagree with me there. It has nothing to do with tax. There was no tax back then. We have it in Caesar's own writing that he had a registration. He never said anything about a tax. In his own writing, he said it was a registration or a census. Okay? Apographe means a writing of separation, because this is a symbol of the covenant, the beginning of the covenant with many. Okay? And all went to enroll themselves. All went to enroll themselves. And Joseph also went. Well, now we've got the people of God involved here. The real people of God, not just apostate Jews, you know. And Joseph also went to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. Here's the woman and the man child. And it came to pass while they were there that the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. There's the man child being born to the woman in the covenant, happening at the beginning of the Gospels, which is the beginning of the tribulation. By the middle of the covenant, the righteous will separate because of the mark of the beast, which the apostates will receive. Why do I say by the middle will they'll separate? Because people are going to be appointed as your head. A leadership is going to be appointed as your head. You're not going to vote them in there. You're not going to have anything to say about it, but they're going to make a covenant for you. Isn't that nice? You really don't have anything to say about it, but you can opt out. And there's going to come a time when all true Christians will opt out of this covenant. They will get out of it. The 70th week is decreed upon thy spiritual city too. 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Not only did Daniel's people change after the 69 weeks when the church began, but thy holy city changed too. Holy means sanctified. You know anything about that city now? It's not very sanctified. In fact, the overwhelming majority of people there are total pagans. They're not even religious Jews. And the religious Jews are so anti-Christ that you can't call them holy. They are anti-Christ. The name of Jesus is uncleanness to them. Apostate Jerusalem is not thy holy city. Speaking of letter Israel, God says in Isaiah 1 and 21, how is the faithful city become a harlot? Harlot doesn't sound very holy, right? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Jesus said to him, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate is a term that's used that means deserted by God. Reprobated is the individual term for a Christian. If a Christian is desolated, it's because they're reprobated. Now, Paul tells us the same thing. He says that physical Israel is not holy. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is. So he's calling Jerusalem the bondmaid. For she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid, that he's talking about apostate Jerusalem, and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. The son of the handmaid is, of course, those literal Jews who count that their holy city. Shall not inherit with the son of the free woman, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. Christians are members of the only holy city, along with Daniel and the other righteous Old Testament saints who became believers when Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. That's 1 Peter 3 and 9. He went and preached to the souls in prison, and they accepted his gospel, and he took captivity captive. And they are now members of our holy city. The spiritual Jerusalem, which is the bride, is now thy holy city. Hebrews 12 and 18. For you are not come unto a mount that might be touched. And he's comparing this mount to Mount Zion. But he says you can't touch it, meaning it's not physical. Mount Zion is no longer physical. The holy Mount Zion is no longer physical. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. You are come. Remember that. This is what the Apostle Paul said. You have come to this city. You say, well, I thought it was coming down out of heaven. We'll look at that. Okay. You have come to this city, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable hosts of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Notice, he's calling the heavenly Jerusalem the church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. He's calling the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city, the spirits of just men made perfect. Why spirits? Well, you know, the Bible says that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And what he means by that is, you can't see who a son of God is by looking on the outer appearance, can you? The only thing in most people that has anything to do with the son of God is they've got a born-again spirit. And their spirit is perfected. Okay? Your spirit's perfected when you come to Christ. But your soul is not, and your body is not. Your soul is in the process of sanctification. You're being born of your soul, Peter said, through your obedience to the truth. That's what he said. And of course, if you are obedient to the truth, you will receive a born-again body ultimately, right? But right now, he says, the spirits of just men made perfect. This city is invisible, just like your spirit is invisible, because the city is the bride. Okay? Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Notice, the holy city is the bride. Where is the bride? The bride is on earth right now. Right? But the holy city is the bride. And it's coming down out of heaven. How is it coming down out of heaven? John 6 and 51. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Well, he's the Word of God, right? We're born of the Word of God. The Word of God we eat, and the Word of God recreates in us, Jesus Christ. First spirit, then soul, and then ultimately body. John 3 and 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, which is the word actually from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're being born from above. First spirit, then soul, then lastly body. And the body doesn't come until when? After the tribulation. Isn't that when John saw the city coming down out of heaven? Who's coming down out of heaven at the end of the tribulation? The bride. And you know what? She's got a body. That's why it becomes visible there. It's not visible here, but it's still here. See, we have a holy city. We are a spiritual people. We have a spiritual city. And they were a physical people and had a physical city. The letter was written to them, but the spirit was written to us. We have to rightly divide the Word of God. So now we have this visible holy city, but it's not going to happen until the end of the tribulation. So right now we belong to a mother, which is called the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city. Daniel belongs to that holy city. While many of God's people have their eyes on the letter people and the letter city, the real covenant of the 70th week will be with the spiritual people and city, as we shall see. It makes a big difference as long as you're thinking about, oh, the beast is going to come over there. He's going to make a covenant with those Jews, and woe, woe to them, right? Well, that's not the 70 weeks are determined upon thy city, thy holy city, and upon thy people. And actually, the people in the city are the same. Why is it determined? The 69 weeks were determined on physical Israel. What did it mean? It meant that God was using everything to perfect those first covenant people. Is God doing that now with them? No. He's doing that now with us. The 70th week is determined upon thy people. See? Daniel's people. So now it's determined upon us because God, the tribulation period is not primarily to perfect the physical Jews. Primarily it's to perfect the Gentiles. Only later is it going to be, are they going to be brought in? And when they're brought in, they're not going to be physical Jews anymore because they're coming into our covenant. They're going to be part of the church and they're going to be part of the holy city. And that city is still not going to be holy. You understand? And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Many. Notice that. Just many. We shouldn't add to the Word of God. It just says many. We shouldn't add to that. I don't need to cover this too much because we talked about this in the first tape a little bit. It says, there is a gap between the end of the 69th and the beginning of the 70th week. Everybody believes that except for the preterists. And I'll tell you, the preterists do have some truth in what they say because at the end of the 69 weeks, in a way, the 70th week did happen there. But history repeats itself. They don't believe that. They don't believe that prophecies have more than one fulfillment. See, the fulfillment that counts for us is the one that's about to happen, not the one that happened to the Jews. Remember, they're the type. We're the fulfillment, right? 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, we're the fulfillment. Just very simply, Micah 5 and 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall one come forth unto me that is to be ruler. That was Jesus, obviously, in Israel. And of course, he was the stone which the builders rejected, right? Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up. Why? Because he was the stone that the builders rejected. Therefore will he give them up until the time which she who travaileth hath brought forth. In other words, until the man-child is born, he has given them up. There is a gap. And matter of fact, in the last tapes, if you go back and look at them, you'll see that it wasn't just natural Israel that he gave up to go their own way and do their own thing. It was the church too. The church has been doing its own thing. And God's going to change that in the tribulation period. I'm not going to go through that next one there. You already know that. We know that after 2 days, right, the Lord is going to come again. On the morning of the third day, he says, who or what is the beast? I'm going to challenge you to think out of the box again here. We're going to look at the Bible, so we should be safe, right? The prince of the Roman Empire destroyed Jerusalem. Daniel 9 and 26, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, which happened in 70 AD, and the sanctuary. And then we have our approximate 2,000-year gap. And verse 27 says, and he, that's the same person, shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Well, we have a problem here. And the problem is that this prince is either 2,000 years old or we're mistaking the nature of this prince. The same prince that destroyed Jerusalem is going to make the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, there's different theories about this, but I'll put one forward that I think is the most scriptural. All right? You can take it or leave it. I don't believe the prince here is a man at all. And I believe we can prove that from the text. If he is a man, then he's resurrected before the last resurrection. Or the first resurrection, excuse me. John saw the first resurrection in his day, looking all the way to the end, and he saw that this resurrection happened at the end of the tribulation period when the saints had been resurrected because they'd come off victorious from the beast, not taken the mark, not bowed to the image. So this is talking about 7 years before that time. And either it's a man that's come up out of the pit and been resurrected to do this, or else it is something else. Is there a scriptural explanation? Yes. All the other princes in the text were spirit principalities, all of them, that ruled beast empires, exactly like Rome. Okay. In Daniel's vision, in the very next chapter, in the beginning of the next chapter, he shares this vision of a man clothed with linen who is described like Christ. Most people believe he is Christ. I believe he is Christ. But at the very least, everybody will agree that he is a spirit and not a human. And he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. What is he talking about? A man? No, he's talking about a principality, a demon spirit over an empire. Okay? Over the Persian Empire. He withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes. Now we know Michael's not a man. Again, we're talking about a principality, but now we're talking about a principality of God's kingdom. All right? Came to help me. Verse 20. I returned to fight with the prince of Persia. Again, he's talking about fighting with the principality that rules the Persian Empire. And when I go forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Why is that? Because Greece followed Persia. In fact, Rome followed those two. It was Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And they conquered one another. And in turn, a principality took over the reins every time one of these kingdoms conquered, you see. And Rome was the third in line. So in the very text, he's telling you that the princes he's talking about are demons. They're not men. Now that's going to clear up a lot of things for you. There's a lot of verses that are suddenly going to fit. Okay? I told you Gog is one of those examples. Gog is not a human. 2,000 years after his army is destroyed, didn't say he was destroyed, said his army was destroyed. 1,000 years later, he starts another war. Okay? Then came the prince of Rome, whose empire was smitten unto death, which is what the Bible says. And if the empire was smitten unto death, what happened to the principality? He went right back to the pit. The Bible says in 2 Peter that God holds those in the pit and ready for judgment. In other words, he looses them when he wants to. He permits Apollyon, who is the king angel of the pit, to loose them in a time of judgment, to bring judgment. The prince returns, Daniel 12 and 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. Again, God's people changed. You know what God said? I will call that my people which was not my people, and them beloved that were not. I will call them my people which were not my people. We skipped a slide here somehow. Michael is a prince from heaven over a body inhabited by Christ who is a king. Every prince is under a king, right? The beast is a prince from the abyss over a body that's inhabited by Satan, a king. We're going to look at that verse, okay? I want you to notice something. Whenever the kingdom of the devil is spoken about, it's always the opposite of the kingdom of God, but it's always the same. It's just opposite. It's the same, but it's opposite, because the devil always seeks to emulate God. And besides that, God is sovereign and he does what he wants to do too, right? The principality of the old Roman Empire will return from the abyss to rule the world once again in the revived Roman Empire of all nations. And I'm going to prove that to you about the all nations part.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.